Exciting. So anyways, all right, open up your Bibles as to Luke chapter 21 and as we continue to systematically go through the Word of God. And I know it's been a few weeks, and but I really believe chapter 21 is so important because it's our, for our lifetime as well. And what we see going on in this world, I'm really encouraged. It encourages me most importantly that God's in control. What you see going around in this world, can't you tell God is in control, right? Is he in control? You guys awake? Amen. Okay. He's in control of your life, right?
Right?
In every circumstance, it doesn't matter how bad it looks or how big it is, the circumstances. Nothing too big he can't do and nothing too small he won't do. But even in the blessing, our God is in control of all things. And this is what I've been encouraged by with this chapter. And so we're going to pick up where we left off, and that is in verse 20. Now, if you remember back, remember last week, we were talking about how Jesus said that in the last days, before Jesus' second coming, that great and awesome day, that they're going to be going through a lot of hardship, and especially the believers in that period of time, that they're going to be betrayed by loved ones. And Jesus said that some of you would even be killed because of them and because of your faith. It's because of our morals, our standards, and because who we represent. He says, but also not one hair on your head would be touched. Now, what he mentioned by that, what he meant is that whether you are alive or whether you die, it doesn't matter. God has everything in control. We know that the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls, right? How many of you know that, right? If you would die right now, so this is the ultimate question I love to ask everybody. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? And I always hear the few answers, hope so, maybe, I don't know, I want to, and yes. And then I always say, well, what do you base that on? And a lot of times, well, I'm a good person. How many good people we have here, right? Right? I mean, come on, you guys are good. I'm not talking perfect. I'm talking good. Good hearts, right? Got good hearts and good motives. Loving, kind. You're not perfect, obviously. But I get that. Oh, yeah, because I'm a good person. Well, we know that you can be the best, the goodest person around, and you still won't get into heaven because if you did, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. That's why he died, because there's no one righteous, no, not one. We all fall short to the glory of God, correct? But that's why he came in our stead, in our place, and he paid the price for us. And because he did, now we can honestly say, I'm righteous through the righteousness of Christ because of what he did. My righteousness is filthy rags. But because of his righteousness, God sees me righteous, and he sees me, gives me the access to his very throne. We all can come to God, directly to God. Isn't that beautiful? As before Christ, nobody can come stand before God and live. You might stand before him, but you would live. Even if when he came down, I remember when he came down, well, I wasn't there, but when I read it, he came down the Mount Sinai, and he covered the whole mountain with thunder and lightning, fire and earthquakes. And he set a boundary there, the people, and he commanded them, hey, when you hear the trumpet blasting, everybody, I'm talking millions, come up to the mountain, because God wanted to speak to them, and they did. But God said, you can't pass this line. It's like he drew a line with his foot. Don't pass this line. Anybody ever had that done to you by somebody? Say, I dare you, cross that line, you know, and you cross, and then he just did another line, cross that line, you cross, and he just said, hey, you'll do anything I tell you to do, and God, he put a boundary, and he said, don't cross that boundary, because if you cross that boundary, you will be put to death, and no one can go in there and get you. That's it. Now, today, thank God, he does that same boundary, but his boundary is to keep us by his side, not away from him. He wants us to stay in the boundaries of his fellowship and his love. So let's pray, and then let's get into the Word of God. Lord, thank you for your Word. And Father, as we continue to look at these last days, end times, and what's going to take place before your return, that great and awesome day, Lord, may we look at it and not just hear it, but may we be doers of it, to apply it to our life and what we need to do. As it was set down for back then, when for the your people back then, for now and for the future. And so we pray that you would bless us, Lord. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your love. Bless us with the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we do give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want everybody to go like this. Go ahead. Come on, everybody. Man, you do anything I say. I was that guy. Dare you to cross that line. No, I just want you to wake up. Okay. All right. Verse 20. So Jesus, again, last week we talked about how he said, hey, you know what? You're going to be betrayed by your loved ones, by your family members. And that's the bad news. The good news, he says, and it's going to be for a testimony. And so that encourages me also, the fact that when I go through situations in my life, there's a purpose. That purpose is not woes me, not, oh, gosh, what's now? Things just keep happening and happening and happening. It's for a purpose and a reason to testify about the goodness of God. It was awesome. Tom and Roseanne, their daughter, Erin, she's in the hospital. Keep her in prayer. She has a blood clot, but it's not a regular blood clot. This is a blood clot that's real long. It's a different type of blood clot, and I believe it's from her foot all the way to her hip. And so they're thinking of they're trying to figure out ways to take care of this. But before she went into surgery, I told them, "Hey, call me so we can pray over the phone." So they called, and we were praying, and right when I was praying, and I was praying for the doctors, praying that God would use them, give them the wisdom, the knowledge, that give them a compassion for a concern for her, the doctor came in right when I was praying for the doctors. And what did she say? She said, I need all the help I can get. Thank you. That was a divine appointment. That was Paul when he said, all things work for the good to those who are in Christ Jesus according to his will. It was for that very doctor. You think, okay, why Aaron has to go through that? Well, it's because it's for a testimony for that doctor to receive the prayer, to acknowledge it. And so don't ever think that what you're going through is God has abandoned you or he's not there for you. It's there for a reason, and that's for a testimony. Just like Jesus is talking about here in Luke 21. All that's happening is for the purpose of God's glory and his power and majesty to be exalted and to be lifted up and be revealed for salvation. Okay? A lot of times I think, all right, yeah, you know, call down 5 she-bears down on them and destroy them and fire from heaven, destroy them. No, God reveals his judgment. He reveals his authority, his power for the purpose of salvation. That's the way I look at it, because he's long-suffering. So if he's going to judge somebody, if he's going to come down on somebody, it's because he wants to save that person or he wants to save people around that person. And so that's the way God is just so loving. And his love is greater than his anger, right? Amen. All right. So look at verse 20. So after he says you're going to be betrayed, he goes on. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. So here in verse 20, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, then you know that the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, is about to take place. And then again, once this happened already in AD 66 to 70, when the Romans came in, and history tells us that when this happened, Jerusalem experienced one of the greatest siege in all of history. And in AD 66, that's when the Jews revolted against Rome, and then Rome sent its mighty army to attack the Jews in Jerusalem. But again, it wasn't easy for them to do it because Jerusalem wasn't an easy place to take because of the walls around Jerusalem. It was difficult. It sat on a hill, and it was protected by a terrain all around it. But those who revolted, they were the more religious fanatics. They were the fighters. They were the ones that wanted to take back Jerusalem, take back their land through violence and destroy the Romans and everything. And we're told that over 1 million people had fled into Jerusalem when the Romans came. When they saw the Romans coming against them, over 1 million people enter into Jerusalem because they thought they were protected by its walls. And when Jesus, look at verse 20, when Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. He makes two points here, okay? And try to look how you can apply these points to your life. The first point is the fact that some of them who were standing there with Jesus when he made this prophecy, when he said this, they were actually going to see and be witness of this prophetic prophecy happening to Jerusalem. They actually saw the judgment fall upon Jerusalem. And we're talking 40 years after Jesus said this statement in verse 20, it actually happened. And again, it's the more reason to believe what the Bible says is going to happen. It's going to come to pass. That's the way I look at it. When I read this, Jesus said it, and then 40 years go by, and it happened. What does that tell you? It tells you that the Word of God is going to happen. As you read the Word of God, every promise, every word is going to come to pass. And now, it may come to pass in your lifetime, or it may not. Some of it won't. But it's going to come to pass. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 25, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Because the Bible constantly warns us that this world will not last forever. Does anybody think this world's going to last forever? Nah, it isn't. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. And this is in regards to the end times prophecy. And when he said this, that my words will never pass away, this means that, hey, trusting in Jesus is more wiser than trusting in this world, right? Who do you trust in? Because that really plays a big part of our lives, is who you put your trust in. And if you're going to put your trust in a man or a person here on this world or the things of this world, you're going to be let down. You'll be let down. And knowing that heaven and earth will pass away, it gives us a better perspective of our life in Christ. I like to look at that. That perspective is that this world is what? Not our home. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are what? Sojourners. You guys thought I was an alien. You're an alien too. Okay? You're an alien because our citizenship is in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 3, listen to what Peter said. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be? To be holy in conduct, in godliness. I mean, we know that the earth is going to, and heaven is going to pass away. Well, what kind of person should we be? looking for the hasting, the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. But nevertheless, we, according to his promises, we look for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Listen, not to that. That was a plane. You should be looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth, guys, where he says righteousness will dwell. Jesus tells us that we should have the proper priorities in our lives. This is what he's saying. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul said this. He says, for our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we're, I kind of look at it as a vacation. It's not a good vacation. But our citizenship is in heaven, not here, right? From which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. You know what that says? You know what that tells you? You're going to get a new body. Hallelujah. For your heavenly citizenship. That's why I can endure this pain that I go through. Pain in my leg, pain in this hand, now it jumped to this hand. I can endure that because why? I got a glorious body ready to be given to me when I step into my citizenship in heaven. Yeah, and I'm going to have a neck. You're right. He says, he will transform our lowly body that we may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he was able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, listen to what he says. He says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves break and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. So don't store up treasures here on earth. Store them up in heaven. And Peter, after reminding us of the temporary things of this world, he says in 2 Peter 3:14, listen to what he says. He says, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen and for him to come, try hard to live without sinning and be at peace with everyone so that he will be pleased with you when he returns. And that's out of the Living Bible Translation, but I love it. It breaks it down pretty good. Do all you can to stop sinning. Stop practicing it. Obviously, we can't stop as long as we're in this body, but we can stop practicing it. We can fight against it, and we're not in bondage to sin anymore because of what Jesus did. So the bottom line is that we can trust in his word that it's going to come to pass. I mean, how many of you have experienced the word of God in your life personally, right? Things come to pass right before your very eyes. You see something happen in your life, and then you read it, and it's, wow, that's exactly what happened. I love when that happens to me. When I can read something, go out there, and I just read that, and now look at it, it came to pass. Now, the second point is all his followers were to be looking for and to be watchful of the events that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. He says, hey, you guys need to be watchful. You need to be looking for this. And he tells them that they need to be prepared at all times for this coming judgment, the destruction of Jerusalem. Again, he warned them, guys, 40 years before it happened. He didn't give them the exact date or the exact time, but he did warn them. And that was for the purpose of them to be ready, to be watchful for these signs. And when it happens, you know what? You're going to know what to do. He told them that 40 years before it happened. And it's like today when we're looking for the rapture of the church, for the return of Jesus. He tells us that he's going to come back, right? He doesn't give times. He doesn't give a date, but he gives signs and seasons. And he says, when you see these signs and you see these seasons coming, he says, you need to be ready. You need to be watchful. You need to prepare. And if you're in the Word of God, you will know what to do. It's like Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. Now, I know that in context, he's talking about temptation, right? But I believe it also can point to our circumstances. It can point to our trials. Anything you are up against, I believe God will not give you anything he feels you can't handle. And he will be with you in it. He will be with you through it. And he will give you the way out because he will show you exactly what you need to do. Now, how many of you ever felt like so overwhelmed that you couldn't handle what you were going through? I mean, sometimes you might feel that way, but as you go through it, you realize, wow, he doesn't give us anything that we can handle. He does see us through. He does get us through. And a lot of times when I was going through what I was going through, every time, every day, something new was happening, and I would say, oh, Lord, what's next? But at that point, he would bring somebody in, and I would share the gospel. So my mind was completely off of myself, my circumstance, and I was able to share the gospel. And I shared the gospel in the hospital with a lot of people, a lot of people. And I got to meet a lot of Christians. I got to meet the pastor of the hospital, and he came to me and said, hey, my son, he was Catholic, and he wanted to, hey, well, how could I pray for you? I said, I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, wow, that's cool. And we prayed together, and it was really awesome. But the Lord will not give you anything that you can't handle. Never think that he's abandoned you. Never think that he's not there in your circumstance. Don't ask why. Why, God? Because I was doing that in the hospital. Why? Until I started to say, how? How can you get the glory through this? Every time they came, sorry, but this is happening. How can you get the glory through it, Lord? And he always does. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, listen to what Paul says, because this will help you. And when God says, hey, I won't give you anything you can handle, but I'll show you what to do, this is what he wants us to do. He says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Go like this. Set your mind on the things above, not the things below, he says. Not on the things of the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Isn't that exciting? Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, are you awake? Okay. So the point is, guys, you need to be watchful. You need to be ready for whatever comes your way. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture that will help us through these times. And thank God that I was watching the Thief in the Cross series. How many of you have seen those series? There's Thief in the Night, The Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and The Prodigal Planet. There's four series of the end times. And I just finished Image of the Beast. And I see it's according to Scripture, it's kind of like back in the 70s or the 60s, the way they dress. And it's funny when you see that. But the Word of God's the same. And as I was watching Image of the Beast, it was showing about the believers who have to survive during the great tribulation period. Now, there's the tribulation period, and there's the great tribulation period. The great tribulation period is that 3.5 years of God's judgment on the earth. The tribulation period is the whole 7 years, but there's going to be 3.5 years of God's judgment. In that movie, Image of the Beast, is what happens, what the Christians go through during that 3.5 years of the great tribulation. I was thinking, Lord, thank you that I will not be here for that. I will not be. You won't be here for that, because the rapture of the church, Jesus Christ, is coming for us. And so we don't have to. I would encourage you to watch those series if you haven't. Watch them. And it's just exciting to know that God will not give us anything that we can't handle, but He will give us the way out. We have the way out before the great tribulation or the tribulation period starts. Because I believe in pre-trib. I believe we'll be taken out before it. There's mid-trib, those who believe that they're going to be taken out after the first 3.5 years. And then there's post-trib, those who believe that Christians, we're all going to be there during the whole entire tribulation, which I don't believe that. And then there's pan-trib, and Neil taught me this one, and I like it. Pan-trib. And I didn't know what that was. What's pan-trib is everything is going to pan out. That is correct. It's going to pan out because God's in control. God's in control of everything, guys. In 2 Peter chapter 1, listen to what Peter said. Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God. So where do we find the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the peace of God that passes all understanding? Where do we find it in? In God. He says it. May grace and peace be multiplied. That means increase in you in the knowledge of God. That word knowledge is the Greek word for gnosko. It means to know by experience. How many of you are experiencing God in your life? Is there anybody here who's not experiencing God in your life? If you are, it's because you're thinking of some dynamic acts of God, like the parting of the Red Sea, of all these dynamic miracles that took place, and you're not looking at the personal relationship that you have with God. Just the fact that God got you up this morning. Carmen said that. She's always saying that. I thank God for getting me up in the morning. And I can't remember who said this, and if you're here and you said it, tell me it was you. They said, and that's really ministered to me, that the moment we sleep, that's when God takes over and he cares for us when we are asleep until we open our eyes again.
I lay down and slept. I awoke for the Lord sustained me.
There you go. It was Fernando. Thank you, brother. That's it.
Psalms 3.
I never really dwelled on that verse, but that is so true. Every time now, like last night when I laid down, when I closed my eyes, I think, okay, God, thank you that you're on watch. Because I'm going to go to sleep, and I have no clue what happens to me when I'm asleep. I have no clue what Carmen does to me. God, you are on watch, and you are going to take care of me until I open my eyes again in the morning. And then you are still there, and I'm with you. But Peter says, hey, you know what? Multiplying the grace of God and the peace of God in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. As His divine power, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. Again, through the experiencing God in your life, you are given divine power and things that pertain to life and godliness. It's through that experiencing God in your life, in prayer, in the Word of God, in fellowship, in service, doing work for the Lord, and just being a witness of God. And Terry, she ministered to me also with a saying that, and you got to remind me who said this. Witness at all times, and if need be, use words. Who was that? St. Francis. I never knew who said that, okay? I thought it was me, but I realized it wasn't. St. Francis said that. Let us go into the city and witness at all times, and if need be, use words. In other words, be that written epistle, that Bible that somebody will read. The only Bible they'll read is what your life consists of and your relationship with the Lord. Why? Because you are experiencing God in your life. He says it, that we're called to Him through glory and virtue by which we have been given. He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises. You know what those precious promises are? Do you know? Does anybody know? The Word of God. That's the precious promise. It's right there. You got it in your lap. You got it on your phone. You get it. You have it in your heart. You have it in your mind, your thought. We live, we eat the gospel. We pray without ceasing. Those are the precious promises that through these you may partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we need to experience the Word of God in our lives. We need to experience the work of God, and not just with head knowledge, okay? Not just with head knowledge, but being a doer of it, because as we become a doer of it, it's as if it's coming to pass right before our very eyes and in the eyes of those around you. When you become a doer of it, it's like, God, wow, it's coming to pass right before my eyes, and people are looking at you, wow, look at you, dang, you're always happy. You know, why are you full of joy? You know, you're shiny and nothing ever gets to you like me. But and even have a person come up to you and say, this is awesome. Hey, I don't believe in God, but what you have, I want. Is that possible? Yes, it is, because it happened to me, and I would have never thought of that ever happening. Somebody say, I don't believe in God, but what you want, what you have, I want it. I have my my brother-in-law's friend. He was all drunk and sitting there, and I was sitting there, and I mentioned this before. He looked at me, he said, so, Pastor Steve, what do pastors do to have fun? Total drunk. I said, well, everything you do, but sober. And then he kind of just was quiet. He didn't say anything after that. You know, we experience God in our lives because we experience the Word of God, the work of God. And again, not just with head knowledge, but we're a doer of it. And when we become a doer of it, it comes to pass right before our very eyes and the eyes of those who are around us. That's believing what Jesus said is going to happen will come to pass in our lives. Now look at verse 20. He says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation or destruction is near. So the point is very clear. Each and every one of us, we also need to be what? Watchful. Okay? We need to be watchful. We need to be prepared for the coming judgments of the end times that are coming now. There's going to be many who will actually witness the end times judgment because they're going to be left behind. I hate to say it, but it's going to be true. I heard a saying that said, those who you think will be there won't, and those who you think thought they wouldn't be there will. There will be people who thought they were believers, who thought they were doing the Lord's work, will be left behind, and they will see these judgments during the Great Tribulation period. Jesus told us that in Luke chapter 7, 33 through 36. He said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. And I tell you that in the night there will be two men in one bed, and one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other left. And two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. So this is going to be happening during when Jesus comes back. It's going to be happening during the normal course of life. I mean, things are going to just be happening. We're here. It could happen right now. Bam. It could happen. You leave this building, it could happen. You can be outside, it's going to happen. We just don't know when. One will be sleeping in bed, while another will be grinding grain, and another will be working the field. So whatever you are doing, the point is to be in that position of readiness, because Jesus will come suddenly and at a time you least expect it. Are you ready for that?
Yes, sir.
Right? I'm excited. I'm going to be about the Father's business as I'm about my business in this world, doing what I need to do and living and doing, but I'm going to be about his business. Yes, look at verse 21. And then Jesus says, "Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains, and let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in the country enter her." So Jesus, he gives them a sign of when to flee. So he's there. It's not like you're going to be caught off guard. He says, "I'm going to give you these signs. When to flee, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded," he says, "that's when you need to get out of there." And Jesus, he warns his disciples, he tells them, "I want you to flee immediately because the dangers of the judgment that is coming." So the urgency is to flee intimate. It's intimate. I mean, you got to get out of there. And I want you to look at what Jesus is telling them in verse 21. First, look what he says to them. He says, "Okay, you believers in the surrounding area of Jerusalem," where did he tell them to flee? Go to the mountains. Okay, you flee to the mountains. Those in the midst of Jerusalem, inside, what did he tell them to do? He said, "Get out of what? The city immediately." Okay, this is in reference to when the Romans came in 70 AD. And then he says, and then those in the other countries, he said what? Stay away. Don't even think about entering Jerusalem or entering into Israel. Well, two things happened. Those who listened to Jesus' warning, they did flee Jerusalem before the Romans did attack in around 70 AD. That's when they came in and they fled to a small town called Perla, which was in the district of Decapolis. And then Matthew's gospel, he mentions that Jesus said, "Okay, when you guys flee, forget your personal possessions. Forget your material things. Just leave, because the danger that was going, it was coming, it's going to be great, and it's very close, and they should have nothing on their mind but to get out of there, escape, and think of nothing else." And I think that's what the Lord is showing us today. He says, don't let your minds be cloudy of the things of this world and the cares of the world. What did he tell us to do with the cares of our cares of this world? Who knows? Yes, he said, "Cast your cares upon me." Why? Because he cares for us. Don't put your cares before the Lord. And he says, because of the coming judgments on Jerusalem, you know, I look at that and it's actually a picture of the coming judgment on the world today and how the Lord, the return of the Lord is imminent. And we need to be ready, guys. When events take place in our lifetime, we need to be prepared to what? To flee to Jesus for safety. When things happen, go to Jesus. Don't go anywhere else. Go to Jesus. Go to the Lord. There's too many believers who are consumed upon the comforts and the possessions that the world has to offer. And it's not good. And I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not good when they consume you and they take the place of God. And you would agree that the signs that are taking place, that are happening now, aren't they happening a lot more now,
yes,
right? Have you guys been up on the times and you've been seeing how from last week, how things are getting even more crazier, especially down there in China with the Philippines and Taiwan, and it's getting more intense. And they're getting more intense in our time, and we need to flee to Christ. We need to be ready. And we need to read the Word of God so we can heed the warnings of Jesus, just like the believers of the first century did when he told them, You know, listen to my words. Listen to what's going on. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, listen to what Jesus said. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And when the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You remember the last rain we had? It was pretty bad. I got a video of my daughter Monique's house, and the rain, the sewer across the street got clogged up, and so it forced all the rain, and they were more at a lower than the street, so all the flood came down, and it rushed down her side of her house and her back stairs, four steps. It was all the way up to the third step. It went through their garage. It had a lot of building materials, and it was like a river rushing in her backyard. It knocked the fence down between her house and the house next door, and their building supplies washed next door. And so I went over there, and I was with her, and we were walking by and looking at video and taking video, and she had chanclas on her foot, sunk in the ground, and when she pulled her foot out, her chancla was missing. But God provides, because in front of her was somebody else's chancla. This is a true story, I'm telling you. This is happening. And so she put that chancla on, and then we went to the front, and her neighbor was out there doing the same thing. The water was just flooding, and she goes, hey, is this your chancla? He says, yeah, but go ahead and use it, because I don't know where the other one went. Isn't that funny? God has a sense of humor. I don't think she ever found her chancla. It's somewhere buried in the back. It's probably for the future. I don't know. But again, build your house on the rock. The rock is Christ. The foundation is the Word of God. And look what he says in verse 22. He goes on, Jesus says, for these are the days of vengeance, that all things of which are written may be fulfilled. I love this, because he's saying his words are going to be fulfilled. He's saying that the destruction of Jerusalem and being surrounded will be a time of vengeance. The Romans, they came with a vengeance against the Jews. And we're talking about a fulfillment of Scripture, a prophecy of God's judgment on Israel. Now listen to what 2 Peter 3 said. Peter said this in chapter 3, verse 9. He says, he isn't really being slow about his promised return, even though it sometimes seems that way. But he is waiting for a good reason, that he's not willing that any should perish, but all that he is giving more time for sinners to repent. This is why he hasn't come yet. He's giving more time for people to repent and to get saved, right? And throughout Israel's history, the Lord has been patient and long-suffering with Israel for many generations, from the very beginning of their history. And many times, Israel had rejected God's reasoning with them, so God's judgment had to come. The predicted judgments on Jerusalem and the Jews, it had to come. It had to be fulfilled. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul said this, don't be misled. I could stop there, but there's more. Don't be misled. I don't know if you know that group, Kool and the Gang. They have a song that they sing. I was into soul in the 70s, so in oldies. They have a song called Misled, where they kind of, I think it's the roots of the gospel in their life, because in that song it talks about misleds in the garden dancing and don't let her mislead you, and she's trying to take his soul. Paul says, don't be misled. Remember that you can't ignore God or get away with it. A man will always reap just the kind of crops he sows. If he sows to please his own, if he sows to please his own wrong desires, he will be planting seeds of evil, and he will surely reap a harvest of spiritual decay and death. But if he plants the good things of the Spirit, he will reap the everlasting life that the Holy Spirit gives him. And let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of our blessings if we don't get discouraged and give up or be misled. Don't get tired of what's going being a Christian. Sometimes you say, man, I did that one time and I will never do it again, where I said, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of faith. I'm tired of God. I want to see God right now. I want him to come down and I want him to do this. And he did what I asked him to do. But I tell you what, I repented. And since then, I have never, ever said that to the Lord anymore. I'm tired. Don't get tired of doing what's right. Don't get tired of going to fellowship. Don't get tired of reading the Word of God. Don't get tired of praying and fellowshipping. Too many people get tired, and so they slack off. And then what happens is that Greg Laurie said that our life is like two dogs. One is faith and one is the flesh. And whatever dog you feed and you fight them, that's the dog that's going to win. If you feed the flesh, it's going to beat the spirit. If you feed the spirit, it will beat the flesh. Don't be discouraged. Reap a harvest of blessing from the Lord. So the destruction of Jerusalem is really a result of sin. Jerusalem, Israel, the Jews, they committed the most wicked sin in human history. And many of them rejected God's leading. They rejected his words. For generations, and eventually, one of the biggest sins of all is the killing of God's own son. Crucify him. Yeah, we all did. Crucify him. First, at one point, they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. The next, they're saying, crucify him. And eventually, they end up killing God's own son. So Jerusalem was utterly destroyed. And that's what sin does, guys. You know what sin does? It kills the things of God in our lives. And by rejecting the Lord, it's like killing the things of God that have been sown in our hearts. Listen to what James said about this in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, let no one say when he's tempted that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Did you hear that? You're tempted because you're drawn away by your own desires and enticed. Then when desires conceive, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. In other words, don't go around saying, Satan made me did it. The devil made me did it. Flip Wilson. Right? Remember he used to say, the devil made me do it. I used to laugh at that all the time. I had no clue what it meant. I didn't know. I used to say it. Devil don't make you do anything. The devil entices you. He puts it out. But your own desires and your own enticement, we go for it. He doesn't twist your arm. Anybody here is like this? Oh, do it. No. He puts it there and he can only do what God allows him to do. It's like that saying that goes, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. Be watchful. We need to be watchful of what's going on. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. And